Ladies and gentlemen of Lafayette,
the Hammered Down Show with Jared Jussolaitis is Lafayette's number one sports show.
Yes, I'm excited!
He totally went to Jared.
The voice of Lafayette sports.
The cream of the crop!
Nobody does it better.
Send us your thoughts on the text line at 765-447-4080.
Now go to that voodoo that you do so well!
Bags, I'm going to be on here with us, all right? You see him on CHGO Sports doing a lot of Bears coverage. You know him from Braggs in the stands here, Boilers in the stands. He's going to be on with us. We'll talk to him about what his Detroit experience was like, watching the Boilermakers and covering them. And then also what they got going on for Phoenix and the Bears. Is Caleb Williams, is it really a lock? Is there any room here? Could something change? We'll talk to him a little bit about the Bears as well, because he's all over them. And if I get some time, maybe we'll make fun of the Cubs pyro or something. We'll see. If you don't know what I'm talking about, well, we can tell you all about that stuff and more. Need to know news.
Here's your need to know news.
All right, let's get started with that Purdue volleyball matchup that was supposed to take on Wisconsin at Lake Central High School this weekend has been canceled. From Dave Shondell's personal Twitter account, quoteth, "We absolutely apologize to loyal Badger and Purdue volleyball supporters for canceling this match. We know how hard the people in the region worked to make this happen. However, we have several athletes with strong connections to Boilerball, and we will support them in the Final Four." Men's NIT is back tonight. You can hear it on 101.7 The Hammer. We got you covered tonight. Indiana State, -3.5 at Hinkle Fieldhouse, hosting, or at least playing, Utah. After that at Hinkle, Seton Hall is a 4.5-point favorite against Georgia. Cubs coming in with back-to-back wins. 5-0 yesterday as they opened up Wrigley Field for the home opener. The Pyro, if you've seen the video, not exactly. They had like four little fountain things, two on each side of them as they came out of the dugout. Two of them didn't work on one side, and they weren't very impressive to begin with. It looked a little cheap. If we're being honest, it looked a little cheap. But it didn't matter. They won. Morrell had an inside-the-park home run. Shota showed up, man. 9 Ks in 6 innings, 2 hits. Even Naga, man, I'll tell you what, looking good. You thought Crochet looked good in his opener. Whew. Put it up there, too. Bellinger, 1-for-4, 2 ribbies. Game 2, 7:40 today. May get pushed back a little bit due to weather, but they say it looks good right now to get both that and the White Sox game in. Cubs are -190. It's like a 17-mile-per-hour wind blowing out the center tonight. Ooh. Kyle Freeland on the mound takes on Javier Assad. On the south side, they were actually missing the first base coach at one point. I think it was like the 8th inning. Down 9-0, Atlanta comes out to play defense, and then they had to hold up the game while the White Sox tried to figure out somebody, because they had to have somebody down the first baseline. So that's how that game went. 9-0 the final. Chris Flexen, 1K in 4 1/3. Sox with 3 hits all game again. Game 2 tonight. Crochet back on the mound, taking on a former White Sox and Reynaldo Lopez. Pacers, 133-111 over the Nets last night. Tyrese Halliburton, 27 points, 13 assists. Turns out he's pretty good. Who would have thought? Then the Bulls, they didn't have the same amount of luck. They actually fell to the Hawks at home, 113-101. DeMar DeRozan with 31 points. And the Blackhawks back at it again tonight. They are taking on the Islanders. And the Islanders -250. There you go. That would be today's Need to Know News for this lovely Tuesday. April the 2nd. Don't have to deal with any more of those April Fool's Day jokes today. You love to see it. All right, we're back at it again. Our good friends over there at ESPN Bet. Still 8.5 here on Purdue NC State. Still 8.5, although it's starting to creep back a little bit more towards that 9, 9.5 number. We're at -120 here today. And so we went through a whole slate of stuff yesterday. What we liked. Zach Edey total rebounds has already gone up, so hopefully yesterday you got it 12.5. It's up 13.5. Braden Smith about ready to jump up to 7.5 on the assists. And then the points, rebounds, and assists mark. I mean, Edey's right at his average right now, and then Braden Smith's still 23.5, but that's about, it's at -130. It just tells me it's going to go to 24.5 here soon. So you want to make sure you pick that up. Also, you know, ESPN's got home run insurance for you today. Place a cash wager on up to 2 player total home runs hits over the half, right? So player to hit a home run. If your bet settles as a loss, get 100% of your wager back up to $10 each paid in bonus bets. All right, make sure you opt in, read all the fine print. But they got you covered here on Tuesday. Take advantage of that. Who do I like? Look, you'd be hard-pressed to not take a guy like Bellinger tonight, right? Because Freeland is not exactly good. And I'm thinking about who you like here in that game. 17 mile per hour winds out, which is good, but the wetness and the pressure and all that stuff is probably not going to impact it as much as you would think. However, we know when the wind blows in, that's a big deal at Wrigley. Now, Freeland got absolutely rocked in his debut against Arizona. Struck out just 2. 10 runs on 10 hits in 2 1/3. Cody Bellinger, lifetime, has never homered off of him, though. He is 9-for-26, bats .346 against him. 3 Cubbies have home runs against him lifetime. Ian Happ, who is 3-11 all time, .273. Morel is 1-of-3. And Dansby Swanson is 8-for-18 against him with a home run. Do with that as you like. I wouldn't mess around with anybody on the south side unless you're going to go with Austin Riley. But I don't like that game because I don't know enough about Crochet yet. Lopez coming back home is always interesting. I feel like I just like some of those bigger bats. So, and you got good hitting numbers against Kyle Freeland. I think it's the inferior hitter here, or the inferior pitcher here. So, I don't hate it if you go with Happ. I don't hate it if you went with Morel. I don't hate it if you... Anybody in that top 5 is great for me. You go with who you want to go with. I will tell you, righties, lefties, it has not mattered consistently. But last year, this guy gave up 1.8 homers per 9 innings. I think he's getting rocked tonight. I think he's getting rocked. So those are the plays. Make sure you go use our friends over at ESPN Bet. Must be 21 and over. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. And again, I'm telling you, I think you need to scoop up that 8.5 on Purdue while you still can. All right, we got a moment here, but you hang tight. Greg Braggs is up next. You know him from Braggs in the Stands, Boilers in the Stands. Covers the Bears as well for CHGO Sports up there in Chicago. He's absolutely locked into everything here. We're going to talk with him next, so stick around. That's on the way here on the Hammer Down Show. 1017 The Hammer and 1017thehammer.com. Welcome back. It is the Hammer Down Show on 1017 The Hammer and 1017thehammer.com. We're going over the Blue Fox Heating Cooling Hammerhead Hotline. Great guest on here for you, Greg Braggs Jr. on with us. You know him from Braggs in the Stands, Boilers in the Stands. He's also on CHGO Chicago, doing tremendous Bears coverage over there as well. He is just all over the place, buddy. Hey, great to have you back on the show. It's been going pretty darn good for you lately. I'll tell you what, man. I remember we had you on at one point last year, and we talked about how Braggs in the Stands had kind of just started to blossom and everything, and now you're in so many stands, it's not even funny. But I love Boilers in the Stands has been so great. Joe is great at breaking down the video and stuff, and you know Craig is fantastic as well. You guys put on a nice little podcast there, and just tremendous work, buddy. First and foremost, man, you've been a great supporter of the Boilers, and you know I saw everything you guys were doing in Detroit and the meetups and the coverage and stuff. Talk a little bit about your Detroit experience, man. What it was like meeting fans out there, just the vibes and what it was like to be down there when the Boilers were cutting down the nets.
Well, I think the word is euphoric. I mean, to be around, to be there when they won the Final Four, or to get to the Final Four, was one of the more euphoric experiences I've ever been around. It did, you know, obviously being from Chicago, I'm a Cubs fan, it reminded me a lot of the year the Cubs won the World Series, and, you know, people that had waited their whole lives for something and had lived through so many moments of failure that are historical-type failures, the Steve Bartman moment, living in infamy. So I see a lot of symmetry with this team in the same kind of way, the pain that this fan base has been through. And to be in the stands, you know, I was sitting with my mom for a long period of the game, and to see all the fans there, I was blown away at the Purdue fan contingent that came out for Sunday against Tennessee. Tennessee fans travel well, and they were severely outnumbered. Oh, 90% of the crowd was Purdue fans. And I was just blown away by that first and foremost. And then when the game started, you know, the fans were essentially willing this team to victory, along with Zach Edey putting this team and this fan base and this program on his back to drop 40 points and send this team to the Final Four for the first time since 1980. It was a euphoric experience the whole weekend, being at a bar called Harry's. You know, a block from the stadium, just completely decked out in Purdue fans. You know, they sell Coney dogs on Lafayette Street. Like, the amount of symmetry, everybody's like looking for these signs. You know what I mean? These spiritual signs that are going to tell you that the Purdue Boilermakers are going to do the unthinkable. And there was just a ton of symmetry there, and it was one of the more special things I've ever been a part of. And got to take in, and I'll never forget it. It was special.
Yeah, I don't know if you had a chance to go back and watch it in the TV broadcast. It was so noticeable. I mean, it was you could hear it from the jump. Like, I even kind of was taken back a bit by it. Like, I knew there was going to be a lot of fans, but my goodness, I mean, it was one of those where, like, you know, you feel like you got to go back and take that away as a neutral game and make it more a home game, like they did to Penn State at the Palestra, because it was just so, like, it sounded so one-sided as Purdue beat Tennessee. When you go back, and of course, you know, doing the stuff that you do online, Twitter and stuff, which is not a real place, as Brian Newbert always likes to say, you know, with the people, but there's the comments and stuff. I think all Purdue fans have been inundated with that. Anytime they poke their heads up, there's always going to be a Tennessee, even Michigan State fans for some reason got really taken back. We've all dealt with the Illinois fans. But how hard is it for you not to go back and start going through all those mentions and all those retweets and stuff and just pull those receipts and post them up after a win like we had on Sunday?
Yeah, well, I'm very superstitious, not just a little stitious. I'm very superstitious. So when it comes to smack talk, that's kind of the part that's not so much fun when your team's on the rise and they're They're climbing the ladder, and you just want to puff your chest out and say, I told you so. Even I'm sitting in the CHGO Sports Studio right now, and I had a lot of guys in this studio twist the knife on me last year after the Fairleigh Dickinson loss. And, yeah, do I want to talk crap to all of them right now? Of course, but there's still more work to be done. And you know, you start writing checks, the players got to cash, and they don't get the job done. Well, guess who's going to be coming back to your doorstep next week? So let's let Purdue finish the job. Then the receipt pulling, for me at least, might come out a little more. But at the end of the day, for me personally, and hey, if you're a receipt puller, have fun with it. I certainly like to popcorn read that kind of stuff and see the reaction and the responses to people that were wrong. But for me, like, and I think this speaks for a lot of Purdue fans, all we want is a champion, you know, and we've all waited so long for this. People that have waited a lot longer than me have been waiting for this. And so, you know, like I said, when the Cubs finally won the World Series and I had a lot of people give me, you know, a lot of hard times for their failures, I was just relieved when they finally won it. That was the feeling I had, was relief. And I'm sure that'll be a similar feeling with this for a lot of fans. So, you know, once you get to that point, it's almost like, well, what does it matter what anybody else said? Because what matters is that the Purdue Boilermakers are, you know, champions or finally get to a Final Four. Those are the things that we want to be able to be proud of and say and go to a parade here a week and a half from now in West Lafayette. That's what matters, not the doubters who never knew what they were talking about in terms of this basketball team who fell short or this head coach who fell short. And both deserve a lot of respect around the country, and they're starting to earn it from the people that I think didn't realize just how special this program has been, not just this year, but for a while here. This is the golden era of Purdue basketball, and it's a special time to be a Boilermakers fan.
We've got Greg Braggs Jr. here on our Blue Fox Heating Cooling Hammerhead Hotline. Now, like you guys did at Harry's, have we found another bar named Harry's or perhaps the Cactus or something? I've got to think there's got to be a Cactus bar someplace out in Phoenix, right, that we'll be able to meet up?
Yeah, well, no Harry's, unfortunately. Yeah. Maybe we'll just have to slap a sign over the name of the bar. But I have been in contact with my guys down in Phoenix, a bar called Carousel. You know, this guy, he's running a few different bars. The Bodega is going to have Alabama fans. Salt is going to have the UConn fans. So I've been in contact with him about making Carousel the Purdue bar here. You know, and I'm sure, you know, John Purdue Club's going to do their thing. But for us with boilers in the stands, if you need a secondary option, we'll be at Carousel, which is right across the street from the stadium, 4-minute walk. So there will already be a lot of people in the area. It's family friendly, so you'll be able to bring your kids as well. But, you know, we had meetups in Indianapolis. We had them in Detroit, and they went really well, and it was a lot of fun to, you know, be around other Purdue fans, especially people that were coming up to us and that are fans of our show. It was definitely very humbling to run into all those people. So we're going to run it back at Carousel, because I was talking to Scott, who runs the bar there, and I told him, I was like, be ready. You know, I can already tell you that it's going to be a Purdue takeover in Phoenix. I have zero doubt of that. I'm sure UConn fans will travel well, but at the same time, just what I saw in Detroit and the euphoric excitement for this team, I guarantee it is going to be a Purdue takeover in Phoenix. No doubt about it.
Well, thank you for putting me up on the UConn bar. In a past life, I was a big Pitt Panthers fan growing up in Pittsburgh. And Scotty Reynolds, that stuff still don't fly with me from 2009. So thank you. I know which bar to avoid. I'm not getting around any of those UConn jerks.
Well, we'll get a basket of tomatoes and chuck them at them as they're walking by.
So another thing you did, you were down at the Combine too, because with the CHGO Sports, you're doing a lot of Bears coverage and stuff. And a lot of questions on what to do at quarterback, of course, back then we weren't sure about what was going to happen with Justin Fields. But you heard a lot of stuff while you were down there, and I know it sounds like everybody zeroed in on Caleb Williams being that guy. Do you still feel like that is the play there for Chicago? It will be Williams at one, or do you still feel like there's something that could happen here that throws a monkey wrench in that plan?
Yeah, no, there's no question at the quarterback any longer. Caleb Williams will be a Chicago Bear in 23 days. The ticket's already been written, and now they just need to – give it to, you know, Roger Goodell, and as he walks to the podium, that's who will be announced at number one. In Chicago, our eyes are now set on what the Bears will do at number nine, which is a more fun discussion or a more intriguing discussion, because there's just so many different ways the draft can fall to nine in terms of how many quarterbacks are taken, one through four, one through eight, how many offensive linemen are going to be taken. You got three really good wide receivers and, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers and Roma Dunze from Washington, which a lot of Bears fans have their eyes set on. So there's a lot of different options, and it sounds like there's going to be a lot of teams in the market to trade back, you know, from the top 10 and try to acquire more picks, and I think that's an option for the Bears as well. But it's Caleb Williams mania here in Chicago. There's still some fans that are, you know, trying to cross the threshold that were more of the Justin Fields loyalists. And, you know, he was a very popular player here in Chicago, so I think it's been an adjustment to transition to this Caleb Williams hype. But he's going to be a Bear here in 23 days. And at some point, I think the entire fan base is really going to embrace this because, from my standpoint, just seeing what, you know, we've all seen from Caleb Williams the last 2.5 years playing on the biggest stage, this is, to me, the most talented prospect that the Bears have ever had come into their organization. Doesn't mean he's going to work out. That's the next step, is they have to develop this guy and they have to make this offense work. And we know in Chicago that there's been many failed history, but as Purdue is showing us, history is meant to change. You know, failures are fleeting, and one day it's your day. And so, you know, maybe this time around the Bears finally get their quarterback right. But they're drafting Caleb Williams, and I'm very excited about the future of this team coming off a 7-win season. They're not your typical team that has a number one pick. So you're bringing a quarterback into a team that is ready to win. So then the question is, how fast can they get Caleb Williams up to speed? But coming in here with DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, one of the better veteran wide receivers this league has seen here the last 10 years, and you got Cole Kmet, you got DeAndre Swift, you got a lot of weapons you're surrounding this guy with. So now it's just about development and executing a new offense.
I'm excited to see what the Steelers starting quarterback in 6 years is going to look like as a rookie. That's if that pipeline continues. Guess what? This is that we did Justin Fields. We did Trubisky. So why not just send another one over, Greg?
Yeah. Hey, you can have them all, man. You can take all our failed quarterbacks, but we owed you one. You know, maybe Fields will work out for you. And I think all Chicago fans are rooting for Fields to work out in Pittsburgh or however his career, you know, continues. But, you know, when you guys threw us Claypool and you bait and switched us on that. So,
yeah.
You know, that's okay, though. But that's the price of playing poker. So, you know, no ill will for Chicago fans for Justin Fields. And I think a lot of Chicagoans will be rooting for him going forward, especially with him being in the AFC. So we wish him all the best in Pittsburgh, and we hope it works out for those guys.
Again, you're going out to the game in Phoenix. Carousel apparently is the place to go meet up with Braggs and
company. We'll be doing a pregame meetup on Saturday morning. Obviously, it'll probably start early because it's a 3:00 Pacific time tip, you know, in Arizona. So, you know, the gates will probably open an hour and a half before tip. So it's going to be an early start for pre-gaming on Saturday. That's when I'm flying in at 6 a.m. on Saturday. So I'm going to be at Wrigley Field on Friday for the Cubs game. So as you said, I am all over the place, but I couldn't be more excited. I'm living the dream. Last year when I was talking to you, I was still a full-time bricklayer, and now I'm a full-time media goofball, media meatball. So to be able to, you know, do these kind of things, is there's no complaining over here going from Mackey to Detroit to Wrigley to Phoenix to Bears combines and draft parties and everything else. This is what I dreamed of a long time ago. So it's a lot of fun to be a part of all this. And like I said before, to be at Detroit when the confetti fell and to see Gene Cady and Robbie Hummel's emotions talking with Matt Painter, the emotions of the fans in the stands. I was crying with my mother. If anybody watched our for Boilers in the Stands postgame show. I cried like a baby for probably the first 25 minutes of our show just because it was so hard for me to really talk about what this means to everybody. You know, what obviously me, Joe, and Craig, it means a lot to us, but just talking about everybody from Robbie Hummel to Bobby Riddell to Gene Cady to Larry Clisby to Rob Black. I mean, all the way across the board, every single person, family, friends, alumni, fans, students, you know, coaches. It was such a special thing to be a part of. And I only hope for this fan base they get two more wins and we can have a little more celebration and some more happy tears.
All right, we're back. It is the Hammer Down Show on 101.7 The Hammer, 101.7thehammer.com. Back over the Blue Fox Heating Cooling Hammerhead Hotline, and we got the whole gang from Purdue Sports on with us here to talk about what's a very, very, very big week in Purdue athletics, not only on campus, but in, I don't know, I'll pick one of the random states in the U.S., Arizona? Yeah, so I think it's big over there, too. So, guys, welcome back. Always great to have you. Another midweek matchup with baseball, if it happens, if the weather cooperates. What's going on? Let's just say everything actually works out weather-wise tomorrow for baseball. Tell me about the midweek matchup.
Yeah, Purdue baseball is taking on Valparaiso at 6 p.m. at Alexander Field. It is a midweek matchup, so GA tickets are $3, and select concession items are also $3. As you mentioned, the weather is looking a little iffy. Could be some rain. I saw some snow, which is pretty crazy.
That's bull. That's ridiculous.
I know. It's April. Like, what the heck? So if there's inclement weather tomorrow, just stay tuned to, you know, Purdue Sports and Purdue Baseball on social media and get your latest game updates there.
How has our crack engineering department not come up with the weather dominator from G.I. Joe yet? I don't know. We should get this fixed. But, yes, baseball theoretically tomorrow against Valpo. That'll get us into the weekend, guys. Softball's going to be back at Bittinger again this week against Iowa, huh?
Yeah, softball is back all weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, taking on the Hawkeyes. Friday night, that game's at 5 p.m. It'll be diversity and inclusion night, so we're going to invite some different groups from campus to come out and honor those groups. Then moving into Saturday, it's our BKC game. That game will be at 2 p.m. And then going into Sunday, it is National Beer Day Sunday, if you didn't know. So we're going to have beer on sale for $2 for those 21 and up. And then it'll also be another Bark at the Park game. So fans, bring out your dogs, and admission is free all season long.
I love that. Bark in the Park is the best. Also going on Sunday, just right across the way there, Schwartz is packed with tennis, huh?
Yeah, tennis is back home, specifically women's, on Sunday at noon. They're facing off against Nebraska. It's free admission, and fans who join us over at Schwartz will be able to pick up a tennis keychain. So fun stuff going on this weekend.
But don't bring your dog over to Schwartz. They tend to go after those tennis balls.
They do, and you can actually bring a dog to Schwartz, but only if we're playing outside, and I don't know if we'll be that lucky this weekend. So
that's a fun Sunday for your dog. Sit here, do not go after the ball, but watch them hit it back and forth.
Exactly.
That you know, yeah, that's torture, man. But if they can sustain it, bring them on out. And then look, the final four is this weekend out in Phoenix. If you're lucky enough to go out there, I know there's so much stuff going on. Is there some place where Purdue fans need to be checking or watching or anything like that?
I would just go to FanFest. On the Final Four website, there's a whole bunch of fan information. If you have a ticket to the game, I think you get into FanFest for free. So check that out. There's a ton of activities. It's going to be a lot of fun. Good weekend. It's going to be like 80 degrees. So
yeah, and I don't quote me on this, but I thought I looked it up, and I thought it was since Capital One sponsors that whole thing. Like, if you have a Capital One card, they let you in two for free. But double check the website and see all that stuff. Very excited to be out there, especially if it's going to be like 40 and snowing here. I have no problem being in Arizona when it's 80 degrees. Guys, sounds like an amazing week of athletics here. Very excited to experience that. I know you guys are as well. Boiler up. We'll see you next week.
Boiler up.
Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure talking with them. And big thank you to Greg Braggs being on with us as well. It continues to be a flood of Zach Edey hate on the internet. By the way, he is the most Googled NCAA men's basketball player this year. But, like, it's still Tennessee fans. This is 2 days later, And it's still Tennessee fans with the same kind of rhetoric that, you know, you've heard all. He's just tall. If he was 6'8", he wouldn't be. Da, da, da. You know, all these things that don't make any sense. It's just you're really mad about losing again. Paul Feinbaum can't declare you the retroactive winner or anything like that. Whatever the heck they do. I'll say this. I have not seen a lick of anything from NC State fans on Twitter. I don't know if that's a loud basketball Twitter that they have or what. I'm looking forward to meeting some of their fans and getting a taste of that. I do know, going into Phoenix, that there is a fan base that is out there. In Phoenix, the one that you definitely want to interact with has got to be NC State, right? I don't think you are prepared for just how insufferable UConn fans are. You already know about the Tide, man. You know about the Tide. You know about that from football. I'm sure the basketball fan base is no different. UConn fans are a different kind of elitist. Coming from a guy whose past life, I grew up in the 412 in that old Big East. Like, I don't think y'all prepared for just how talking down to you UConn fans are. And I got to thinking about this, too. Like, who wins that game? I know Alabama's a big underdog in that one. But I feel like it's you, just because, even specifically for me, a lot of change for me during this basketball season. Not a lot of it's been very tough. But to see this team play the way it's done, and now you go back to the one seed and you get that monkey off your back, so to speak, of losing to a 16 seed. Double-digit seeds have not been your thing, but you beat an 11 seed to go to the Final Four. Or, I'm sorry, you're getting an 11 seed to go to the championship. Like, I feel like a lot of things are lining up for Purdue to kind of, like, right the wrongs. And I told Braggs this before we got started. You know, the Scotty Reynolds thing from 2009 still haunts me to this day. Because I remember going into my car to listen to that thing on the radio because the cable went out. Still to this day. And that was like Pitt's like best shot. You got Jamie Dixon. I always saw a lot of parallels between Matt Painter and Jamie Dixon. Two coaches that were well respected. That put together some underrated teams and really developed some great players. And had some, you know, had those teams that just come up short in March, because it is hard to win in March. But I think that's my, honestly, when we had the Sweet 16 round, you could have taken UConn and Purdue to play in the championship for like around like plus 600 or something. I really should have fired off on that. It seemed inevitable. And the more and more you watch these teams play, the more inevitable that feels. This was going to be the outcome. That the two best teams of the year, and so rarely do you not only get to have that matchup possibility, but so rarely do you get it to happen in the championship game. It's just the perfect. We always talk about the script writers, like in the NFL and stuff. It doesn't get any more well-written than that. Just like you watched last night, Iowa beating LSU. Caitlin Clark gets the redemption. It just seems like there's this theme of redemption, right? Second chances. That's happening. I can't ignore that. I don't do the astrology when Mercury's in retrograde or whatever the hell that crap is. I know some people swear by that stuff. But I've always been a person that's said, I don't believe in a lot of coincidence. I've always been a everything seems to happen for some kind of reason. And this seems right, right? You got two stories of redemption going on right now. Caitlin Clark and Purdue. Both in the Final Four. Both about to be back-to-back National Players of the Year. It's just, it's crazy to me. I can't ignore all that stuff. I just can't. And that's why I think it's UConn, and that's, hold my breath for that one. Hold my breath for that one. We're going to take our final break. We'll come back. Things we may have missed and more are coming up here on 101.7 The Hammer, 101.7thehammer.com. Back on the Hammer Down Show on 101.7 The Hammer, 101.7thehammer.com. Don't forget, tonight, we got you covered. Men's NIT action. We got two games here, Seton Hall, Georgia. And then, of course, the big one here. It's Indiana State taking on Utah. All those games are played at Hinkle Fieldhouse. And we'll have you covered here on 101.7 The Hammer tonight. That'll start at 6:45. And then this weekend, there's more hoops action, too. We will have the championship game, which is on Thursday night. A little bit late. That'll start at 9:15. Friday, we'll have the women's college basketball Final Four for you, starting at 6:30. Saturday, starting at 3:30, NCAA Final Four tourney today. We got you covered all through that one. And then Sunday, we should have Sunday night. Oh, Sunday night we have the women's championship game for you. How about that? Followed by Sunday night baseball and Monday night's national championship game right here. Coverage from Westwood One on 101.7 The Hammer. All right, time for some of the things that we may have missed. CBS Sports and TNT say they delivered the most watched Elite Eight since 2019. 15 million viewers. NC State and Duke was the most watched game in 5 years with 15.1 million. It's up 34%. Sunday's game on CBS averaged 12.8 million viewers, up 30%. Most watched Elite Eight day since 2019. Purdue-Tennessee averaged 10.4 million viewers, up 25%. People like them some Zach Edey. Stop filming him. It's weird. So he held the door open for somebody. It's weird. That's our old... You know what that killed me about that, by the way? And if you're on the internet, you know that video. You've seen it on Twitter, right? It's like a little 5-second clip. That's our own people. For what? Your Snapchat or whatever? It's TikTok, whatever? It's weird. Stop it. I hate social media sometimes. Like the hashtag the resignation trending because a parody page said Ed Cooley is stepping down as head coach of Georgia. He's not. At least I don't think he is. But I hate, this is why I hate April Fool's Day. Like, you can't trust anything. It's a whole day where you can't trust any news. It's so bad. I did suck it up a little bit. I did watch LSU and Iowa last night, despite the fact that I didn't want to engage too much in it, because while I love the good basketball, I do not love the discourse that follows it. And it didn't disappoint, did it? It didn't. If you hopped on to social media today, you saw all of it. But the one thing that just kind of frustrated me the most is just the discourse around LSU. Yeah, there were the knuckleheads are all like, I'm very, very happy that, you know, this team beat LSU. And you know why they're happy about it. But the discourse that I didn't like here was the you know, Angel Reese in the postgame and her teammates sticking up for her. You don't know Angel and all this. And yeah, no, we probably don't have an accurate representation of her as a person. I don't think that national media is going to do a great job of telling you what a person is like when they don't spend a whole lot of time covering those people to begin with. You just don't. But that's not the part that upset me the most. It was the blanketed defense of, you know, it's not fair how somebody gets, how she gets treated specifically. And while there's going to be plenty of media that certainly watching what we watch with Zach know that that's true, the root of it really, and the root cause of it is this. If you are going to be a player that tries to be a dominant persona over somebody, it's not imposing your game or your will. It's the talking. It's that game. If you're going to do that, so be it. Go ahead. If that's your game, go ahead. But you cannot set that down after you lose and then say, well, I don't get treated fairly because of the way that I act. When the bill comes due, the bill comes due. If you're going to have that energy, you have to take the whole. I would tell you the same thing that if Braden Smith went out there and was specifically on Dalton Connect, and they lose that game, and Dalton hits like 8 3-pointers in his face, I would say, dude, you're a great player, but when you knock down those threes, it's to the ice in the veins. You got the celebration going. You can't do that and walk that walk. And when you come out of the losing end of it, be like, oh, that's classless. Like, you know, I would tell him the same thing. You cannot, if that's the way you're going to play the game, so be it. But there is a flip side to that coin. And if you can't find a way to deal with that, the criticism, the extra criticism that does come from trying to be that big personality because you're reaping the rewards of it with the media, the endorsements, and all that stuff, you're going to come out here and set that crown down on the chair in front of Caitlin. You got to understand that if you do not cash the check that you just wrote, this stuff is going to happen. That's the game. It's always been the game. Criticism, all that's nothing to do with it. That's the game. That's why people will treat you if that's the game you want to play. And then act like that. That does it for us here on the show. Loved having you here. We're back again tomorrow on 101.7 The Hammer.